Suzanne McDowell, President and CEO of Circle of One Marketing.
Okay. Felicia Hatcher, Chief Popsicle of Feverish Pops.
Kevin Michael, Managing Partner of Invisio.
Adrienne Foster, President and CEO of Foster Construction of South Florida.
Adrienne, I want to start with you. How do you define your business with your race in construction?
As an African-American-owned, female-owned construction company, I'm in an industry that is very underrepresented, which is a positive and a negative. On the negative side, I find it difficult to find mentors to help mentor me as I endeavor some of the challenges, unique challenges that come along with construction, particularly because it is a male-dominated industry. On the positive side, when I do find someone that is able to mentor me through some of the issues, I don't find that there's a lot of competition.
Is it important for the mentor to share your racial background?
Not at all. I particularly look for mentors that have experience in a particular area. Unfortunately, here in South Florida, most of the mentors do not look like me, African American or woman or male or a black male. But I do strive to look for mentors that have the level of expertise in the areas that I'm looking to improve upon.
Felicia, does race play a significant role in your business?
I would say probably more on the customer side than the day-to-day operations of just kind of when we were growing the business.
What do you mean by the customer side?
A lot of times when customers would either, we would show up at events or customers would come into the store, they would never think that I was the owner of the company, which you can kind of take it one way or the other. And in the beginning, it was something to really hard to overcome until I had a mentor say, you know what? Money is green. That's the only color you need to really care about in your business. And you have to get really thick skin. So over the years, we've kind of been able to overcome that. But a lot of times you kind of get that surprise like, oh, you own the company? You know, so that's one of the things that's been the hardest.
Suzanne, in public relations and marketing, have you encountered that same kind of reaction through the years?
Like that as Felicia?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I had an older white man work for me, and we would walk into places, and they would just immediately think that he was my boss. And that was just very interesting. I'm an alpha female, so, you know, I wasn't really happy with that. But when people say that there's no racism, like, I wish there was no racism, trust me. But, you know, there's just people make up their minds about people, and it's all people. It's a human reaction to judge.
How has race played a role as you've built your marketing business?
Well, my background is, my immediate background before I started the agency was in urban radio. So, I mean, I honed my skills of understanding the urban community, African-American, Creole, and Caribbean at the radio station. So when I left, that was my expertise. So, you know, that for me is the low-hanging fruit, is essentially people who are trying to reach these people in the room, you know, upwardly mobile African-Americans or Caribbeans in their acquisition years. Whether it's for, you know, the Michelle Obama campaign or mm-hmm. Jazz in the Gardens or, you know, One United Bank.
It's a slice of the audience that you specifically have designed your business to reach.
Exactly. But yeah. It's also pigeonholed me. And that's, you know, that can get very frustrating.
Kevin, in the technology venture field, how has race played a role in your early career?
Well, pretty much ever since my undergraduate education, you can think of the underrepresentation of minorities, particularly blacks and Hispanics, in engineering and scientific fields. And so when you trickle that down into being a business owner and being in the space that I am, there aren't many that are in that background, that are technologists, that are starting their own companies in that field. So for me, it's played both a positive and a negative role. I started my company when I was very young. I was 22 years old at the time. And because it's technology, I think people are more accepting of the idea of having a young person work with their organization, more so than other fields where, you know, experience and quite frankly, some age is some gray hair is needed. But I think also, just sort of to piggyback on some of the conversation that we've already had, it's quite typical for me as well where I'll have an opportunity I'm working with a client on, and they see the final number, and they're surprised because not that the number is any more expensive or less expensive than a competitor, but there's just a lack of cultural comfort sometimes with doing business with someone of color.
Explain that a little more. When you're talking about the final number, the fee that you're charging for your services,
right,
and the client's reaction is surprise, mm-hmm, at that number because of why, do you think?
Well, it comes down to more so the some maybe an expectation on their part that because you are of color, that you're a small business, that somehow the number should be reflective of that in some way. So it's implicitly it's an expectation.
It's not about the quality of the business.
I was going to say implicitly it may be an expectation of quality. Hmm. But in many cases, it's not even just that. It's just cultural comfort. It's not, they've never had that conversation with someone who doesn't look like them before to spend a certain amount of money. So that happens as well.
Suzanne, have you experienced that as well?
Oh, my God. I'm like...
Has it held back your earning power, earning potential?
Absolutely. I mean, I literally had somebody at a very high level say to me, if your last name ended with a Z, we would give you this contract. I mean, literally. I just recently over the summer, I had a client basically want to give me like $1,200 for a project that I know across town they're giving a Hispanic agency $15,000 for. You know, I mean,
less than 10%.
It happens all day long. And it is very disheartening because everyone around this room, I've worked with every single person around this room. Kevin is my IT guy. All of these people are excellent. And it's disheartening because black, white, whatever, you know, you're putting your heart and soul into your own business. That's it. That's you're putting your heart and soul into it. And as long as you care about the quality and for me, marketing is, you know, you've got the demographic. How are you going to push out the message? That's it. But the cultural comfort is exactly the exact term. He's right.
Adrian, have you experienced something similar to this in the construction field, which is so important in South Florida and hyper-competitive as well?
Yes. My experience lies more with a general contractor, a black general contractor having the ability to actually carry a particular project. Most African-American owned construction companies are steered toward what we call tier two
subcontractors,
sure, as opposed to developing tier one contractors. We in our company, when my husband and I started our company 13 years ago, we made the conscious decision to focus on being a tier one contractor, despite the fact that most venues or most owners that we targeted automatically assumed that we self-performed masonry, carpentry. And so it was a struggle over the years to maintain the fact that we wanted to continue along the path to be to grow our company as a tier one general contractor. And over the years, we have been able to change a lot of the minds of most owners here in South Florida that African-American-owned general contractors can really contribute to this industry. But again, I go back to the point that it makes the path easier when you have mentors in the industry that will share and, help you along the path.
Adrian Foster with Foster Construction, Felicia Hatcher with Feverish Pops. Felicia, is there a black business community in South Florida? Is it useful to talk about a label like that?
There's a huge black business community here. And the label, I think, is kind of interesting now because it transcends into so many different cultures.
What do you mean?
You have African-American businesses, you have African businesses that are based in South Florida, you have the Haitian community, you have a huge Caribbean community that spans into whole, you know, tons of different countries. So, and islands. But yeah, I think it's interesting where we are going as a community, going back to a huge focus on entrepreneurship.
Suzanne McDowell with Circle of One Marketing, is it useful to think of a Black business community in those terms? And what does it mean if we continue to use that term in the South Florida economy?
You mean Black business community?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
Again, you know, thinking about it, is a Hispanic business community, a white business community, a Cuban business community. I mean, are these labels meaningful at all?
Well, I mean, people do business with people that they know and that they like. So,
yeah, let me move the microphone up there a little bit too, Suzanne. Pull that a little bit closer. Pull the whole arm closer to you.
I think I would know this after 12 years of radio.
There you go. Let's see here. This thing keeps
swiveling up.
There we go.
So, Kevin will tell you I'm the one that's usually given trouble.
No, that's all right. That's all right.
I was just saying that on the way. I yell at you.
Yeah. Well, feel free to talk to one another and respond to one another without you know, I don't mind stepping aside.
Okay.
So the Black business community. So, you know, it's bittersweet because we've grown because Black businesses have looked out for us, have said, you know, I'm going to do business with Suzanne and I've done business with every single one of these people here because they've chosen to come to me, one, because I'm good, and secondarily because I'm Black. But so the Black business community definitely is an incubator for people who look like you, who understand the same struggles of, you know, not being able to pass through this ceiling because people just, they either expect your work to not be good enough or, you know, they don't see you. They don't even see you. Like, I think sometimes that I could go out of business tomorrow and the Hispanic and Anglo community wouldn't even blink an eye. The Black community, there would be a hole. But there's lots of communities they don't even know I exist. Mm-hmm. Sad.
Yeah, I know when we first started our business, because there's that perception that Black businesses don't do business well, that you really have to overcome when you're starting a business.
Absolutely.
And I know for us in the beginning, we wanted to have a huge focus on customer service, which is usually like that biggest complaint. And we didn't even put our photos or on our websites in the very beginning. Now you'll see stuff about us all the time, but on our websites. But in the beginning, we didn't do it because we didn't want that perception to come with, oh, they're, you know, a Black business, they're not going to show up on time. Or we're not going to pay them the rates because the assumption is that they're not going to do business good. So
meanwhile,
it's a catch-22 for sure.
Meanwhile, I've worked with Felicia for several years. She's done a lot of events for me. They're on time. They're on it. Their product is amazing. It's, you know, it's priced like any other, you know, boutique product. And, you know, her branding, I've literally called her up and said, who did your branding? This is what I do all day long. Her branding is amazing. So, you know, if she was blonde hair and blue eyed, you know, nobody would question her.
Yeah, I mean, I would just jump in by saying, just in terms of, you know, whether the label Black business community is helpful or not, is sort of a double edged sword, and it can be used to your benefit. I know early on in our business, the first time that we ever had an opportunity to have real press about the types of projects that we were doing, it was a story that ran in Black Enterprise magazine for a client that Suzanne actually is the marketing agency for, and we also do their technology. And so those outlets, like the media that comes with being in the Black business community, is helpful. And as she mentioned, is an incubator in many cases, just for you to establish some credibility.
Exactly.
And then just having sort of an informal Black business community is quite helpful, because there are many of us who own businesses, but there are many of us that work at organizations that can influence decisions and that can also provide outlets for us to be able to provide our services or gain exposure. And so those things are tremendously helpful. Where I think that the label Black business community is sometimes challenging or can pose an issue, because we do have a very diverse community here in South Florida. And so if you're seen to be a member of the quote-unquote Black business community, it can be insulating. It can be isolating. And so many times people may be reluctant to want to do business, or they may simply ascribe certain negative attitudes to that label. And so you try to walk that fine line. I mean, in my business, I know that, you know, I don't think any of us here could rely on only doing business amongst each other in order to be successful.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's very important that we try to walk that line as closely as we can.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the label of Black business, it personally, it provides a level of support for Black-owned businesses. When you have that camaraderie of other Black-owned businesses that are supporting you, maybe not necessarily through contracting, but, you know, I can pick up the phone and call Suzanne. Like, I received a phone call late last night. And, of course, I would respond to her at midnight because, you know, we're Black businesses or we're business owners that are trying to grow our business, make things happen. But she's a personal friend as well.
And if there's a way for me to help her, based on what is easy for me to do, which is get her press, then absolutely I'll do that.
Yes, yes. And so in that sense, I think, you know, having the Black business community, it helps with morale. And it pushes you. It makes you get up in the morning and, you know,
not feel alone.
Right. Exactly. You feel a sense of community. And so you gain the additional strength that you need to push forward each day.
Yeah. I know Suzanne has a Christmas party every year.
Yep.
I remember the first year I met her, she was like, you have to be here. Like, these are like the top 100 Black entrepreneurs and professionals that you didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
And I was like,
and then they never believe me until they come to my party and they're like, oh my God, I didn't know all these fabulous Black people existed. So, you know, so yeah, I mean, there is definitely, we all know each other because, you know, we strive for excellence. Every single one of these people in the room strives for excellence.
Within the broader economic climate here in South Florida, Kevin, I'll start with you. Within the broader economic climate in South Florida, do you feel that your voice is being heard?
My voice is being heard. I would say that in my experiences, even this morning before I came here for this interview, I was in a meeting in which, you know, there was next to no representation amongst our community in terms of Blacks in this particular field. And that's quite typical of many rooms that I go into in South Florida, whether it be at an economic development agency or a chamber or in many institutions that actually in many ways direct the economy locally. There's an underrepresentation of people in the Black community. And it's sort of a twofold, in my mind, a twofold issue, because there is, to one degree, a lack of awareness that those opportunities exist in our community. And secondly, there is a lack of outreach to make sure that, you know, this community, while as diverse as it is, that it's inclusive. So, you know, there's basically centers of power that never really think about, well, you know, that, you know, there's a large swath of this population that is Black. You know, maybe we should get some opinions, get some understanding of how that community is thinking about these issues. So that's been my experience.
Adrian?
I feel that there's a shift in the atmosphere in South Florida as it relates to Black businesses. I think that there's a consciousness that, at least for the past 10 to 15 years, that this community has been underutilized, underrepresented during the boom years, particularly in construction. And so I think that there's an effort, that there's a real effort now to make opportunities available to African American businesses. And I can speak specifically for construction. For my business, I've had the opportunity to work with some large corporate partners, and this has just come about, I would say, in the past couple of years, primarily because construction is on the upswing again, and I think it's important that the business community, they feel a sense of obligation that this is a community that should not be left out.
Did you feel that your construction company, while it was a smaller, younger company during the blast building boom in 2004, 2005, was left out?
Yes, it was very difficult. Primarily, I think one of the main issues is because our business focused on growing as a tier one contractor, there was a lot of competition that came from outside of the state of Florida. And so there wasn't a focus there. And it was very difficult to find your place. We built our brand not as a Black company, but as a general contractor. And much like Felicia, We didn't post our pictures. You had to actually meet us in order to know that we were African-American owned. And that was done purposely. But despite those efforts, we still found it very difficult to work with some of the key organizations here in South Florida to help build our company.
Has that improved?
It has. It has. We are currently, we have a major contract with the City of Miami Gardens, which, in my opinion, was a conscious effort by the city to ensure that the Black businesses in that city were included in their major construction project. And it's efforts like that if they are reciprocated throughout many of the local municipalities, that you'll begin to see Black businesses begin, we'll have an opportunity to really flourish.
Felicia, you're early in your business career. Mm-hmm. What kind of opportunities do you see ahead of you that perhaps a generation or two generations ago here operating in South Florida may not have seen?
I think the possibilities are endless. A lot of opportunities have come across in the past few years, and I think social media has played a big part of that because we're active on it. But then it's easy to, share information. I get information from all of these people on a constant basis about things that are coming up, contracts that are, possibilities that are coming up in the city, throughout the state. So I grew up as a daughter of someone who owned a construction business. So my dad operates his business completely differently than, the way myself and my husband operate the business. But the opportunities are definitely there. And there are a lot of organizations and resources that are now coming to the city in order to really build the city and be able to have a seat at the table, which is very important.
Suzanne, it goes beyond just communication because, similar to the color of business, the color of communication is everything. But what are the opportunities?